Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 37. Men are possessed of free will, and are endowed with the faculty of making a choice. It is not true, therefore, that some are, by nature, good, and others, bad. This expression of our Lord, "How often would I have gathered your children together, and you would not," set forth the ancient law of human liberty, because God made man a free agent from the beginning, possessing his own power, even as he does his own soul, to obey the behests of God voluntarily, and not by compulsion of God. For there is no coercion with God, but goodwill toward us is present with him continually. And therefore does he give good counsel to all. And in man, as well as in angels, he has placed the power of choice, for angels are rational beings, so that those who had yielded obedience might justly possess what is good, given indeed by God, but preserved by themselves. On the other hand, those who have not obeyed shall with justice not be found in possession of the good, and shall receive condign punishment. For God did kindly bestow on them what was good, but they themselves did not diligently keep it, nor deem it something precious, but poured contempt upon his supereminent goodness. Rejecting, therefore, the good, and as it were spewing it out, they shall all deservedly incur the just judgment of God, which also the Apostle Paul testifies in his Epistle to the Romans, where he says, "But do you despise the riches of his goodness and patience and long-suffering, being ignorant that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But according to your hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure to yourself wrath against the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. But glory and honor," he says, "to every one that does good." God, therefore, has given that which is good, as the Apostle tells us in this epistle, and they who work it shall receive glory and honor, because they have done that which is good when they had it in their power not to do it. But those who do not do it shall receive the just judgment of God, because they did not work good when they had it in their power to do so. But if some had been made by nature bad, and others good, these latter would not be deserving of praise for being good, for such were they created, nor would the former be reprehensible, for thus they were made. But since all men are of the same nature, able both to hold fast and do what is good, and on the other hand, having also the power to cast it from them and not to do it, some do justly receive praise even among men who are under the control of good laws, and much more from God. And they obtain deserved testimony of their choice of good in general, and of persevering therein. But the others are blamed, and receive a just condemnation, because of their rejection of what is fair and good. And therefore the prophets used to exhort men to what is good, to act justly and to work righteousness, as I have so largely demonstrated, because it is in our power to do so, and because by excessive negligence we might become forgetful, and thus stand in need of that good counsel which the good God has given us to know by means of the prophets. For this reason the Lord also said, "Let your light shine so before men, that they may see your good deeds, and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And take heed to yourselves, lest perchance your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, and drunkenness, and worldly cares. And let your loins be girded about, and your lamps burning, and you like to men that wait for their lord when he returns from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him. Blessed is that servant who, when his lord, when he comes, shall find doing so. And again, the servant who knows his lord's will and does not do it shall be beaten with many stripes. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And again, but if the servant say in his heart, the Lord delays, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, his Lord will come on a day on which he does not expect him, and shall cut him in two, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. All such passages demonstrate the independent will of man, and at the same time the counsel which God conveys to him, by which he exhorts us to submit ourselves to him, and seeks to turn us away from unbelief against him, without, however, in any way coercing us. No doubt, if any one is unwilling to follow the gospel itself, it is in his power, but it is not expedient. For it is in man's power to disobey God, and to forfeit what is good. But such conduct brings no small amount of injury and mischief. And on this account, Paul says, "All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient," referring both to the liberty of man, in which respect all things are lawful, God exercising no compulsion in regard to him, and not expedient, pointing out that we should not use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, for this is not expedient. And again he says, "Speak every man truth with his neighbor," and "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which are not convenient, but rather thanksgiving." And, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk honestly, as children of the light, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in lust and wantonness, not in anger and jealousy. And such were some of you, but you have been washed, but you have been sanctified in the name of our Lord. If then it were not in our power to do or not do these things, what reason had the apostle, and much more the Lord himself, to give us counsel to do some things and abstain from others? But because man is possessed of free will from the beginning, and God is possessed of free will, in whose likeness man was created, advice is always given to him to hold fast the good, which thing is done by means of obedience to God. And not merely in works, but also in faith, has God preserved the will of man free and under his own control, saying, 'According to your faith be it unto you,' thus showing that there is a faith specially belonging to man, since he has an opinion specially his own. And again, 'All things are possible for he who believes.' And, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you.'" Now, all such expressions demonstrate that man is in his own power with respect to faith. And for this reason, he that believes in him has eternal life, while he who believes not the Son does not have eternal life, but the wrath of God shall remain upon him. In the same manner, therefore, the Lord, both showing his own goodness and indicating that man is in his own free will and his own power, said to Jerusalem, "How often have I wished to gather your children together, as a hen her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Wherefore your house shall be left unto you desolate." Those, again, who maintain the opposite to these conclusions do themselves present the Lord as destitute of power, as if, forsooth, he were unable to accomplish what he willed, or, on the other hand, as being ignorant that they were by nature material, as these men express it, and such as cannot receive his immortality. But he should not, say they, have created angels of such a nature that they were capable of transgression, nor men who immediately proved ungrateful toward him, for they were made rational beings, endowed with the power of examining and judging, and were not as things irrational or of an animal nature, which can do nothing of their own will, but are drawn by necessity and compulsion to what is good, in which things there is one mind and one usage, working mechanically in one groove. Men who are incapable of being anything else except just what they had been created. But upon this supposition, neither would what is good be grateful to them, nor communion with God precious, nor would the good be very much to be sought after, which would present itself without their own proper endeavor, care, or study, but would be implanted of its own accord and without their concern. Thus it would come to pass that their being good would be of no consequence, because they were so by nature rather than by will, and are possessors of good spontaneously, and not by choice. And for this reason they would not understand this fact, that good is a lovely thing, nor would they take pleasure in it. For how can those who are ignorant of good enjoy it? Or what credit is it to those who have not aimed at it? And what crown is it to those who have not followed in pursuit of it, like those victorious in the contest? On this account, too, did the Lord assert that the kingdom of heaven was the portion of the violent, and he says, "The violent take it by force." That is, those who by strength and earnest striving are on the watch to snatch it away on the moment. On this account also, Paul the Apostle says to the Corinthians, "Do you not know that those who run in a race course do all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run, that you may obtain." Everyone also who engages in the contest is temperate in all things. Now these men, that they may obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. But I run so not as uncertainty. I fight not as one boxing with shadows, but I make my body livid and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when preaching to others, I may myself be rendered a castaway. This able wrestler, therefore, exhorts us to the struggle for immortality, that we may be crowned, and may deem the crown precious, namely, that which is acquired by our struggle, but which does not encircle us of its own accord. And the harder we strive, so much more is it the more valuable. While so much more the more valuable it is, so much the more should we esteem it. And indeed, those things are not esteemed so highly, which come spontaneously, as those which are reached by much anxious care. Since then this power has been conferred upon us, both the Lord has taught and the Apostle has enjoined us, the more to love God, that we may reach this prize for ourselves by striving after it. For otherwise, no doubt, this our good would be virtually irrational, because not the result of trial. Moreover, the faculty of seeing would not appear to be so desirable unless we had known what a loss it were to be devoid of sight. And health, too, is rendered all the more estimable by an acquaintance with disease. Light, also, by contrasting it with darkness, and life with death. Just in the same way is the heavenly kingdom honorable to those who have known the earthly one. but in proportion as it is more honorable, so much the more do we prize it. And if we have prized it more, we shall be the more glorious in the presence of God. The Lord has therefore endured all these things on our behalf, in order that we, having been instructed by means of them all, may be in all respects circumspect for the time to come, and that having been rationally taught to love God, we may continue in His perfect love. For God has displayed long-suffering in the case of man's apostasy, while man has been instructed by means of it. As also the prophet says, "Your own apostasy shall heal you." God, thus determining all things beforehand for the bringing of man to perfection, for his edification and for the revelation of God's dispensations, that goodness may both be made apparent and righteousness perfected, and that the church may be fashioned after the image of his Son, and that man may finally be brought to maturity at some future time, becoming ripe through such privileges to see and comprehend God. End of chapter 37.